You are connected to the power over that's what.
I'll take this one. This is cool. It's ready. Oh, Father God, we want more of your presence. Will you come now? Will you increase? Let's just wait on him a moment. We give you honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So, I had a perfectly good Bible study ready, which I've thrown out. Save that for another time. This is more a sort of list of instructions, really, and it's going to be requiring some sort of response. And it's to do with the presence. It's hard to talk about the presence because it's something that needs to be experienced. And we just need to get stuff out of the way. But I've been sensing more and more over the weeks the increase of the presence of the Lord in here. Yet wanting more. You know, it always leaves me wanting more. And I've just been like, well, how do we get more? How do we break through that which is sometimes just a bit superficial, in having an experience going away and nothing changing, to it being something much more deeper? There's a difference between the omnipresence, which we know God is everywhere and his presence is everywhere even if we don't feel it. And then there's a different type of manifest presence. It's like when you know God has just really turned up. And I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for God to just really turn up and wreck me and ruin me. And throw everything out. But I was sort of trying to investigate on how to get there. And I'm not even sure I've got any solid answers, but there's just a desire and I sense that there's a desire in other people around me. Years ago when we were praying on the night watch, you can blame Trevor and Joe for this because we were chatting and this developed out of. About 10 years ago, we were praying. Yeah. night watch consistently for about 10 years. And all during that night watch, we were praying and calling out for the presence of God and for revival. And that's basically all we did. We just spent time loving on God and worshipping and calling. And there was one season where this thing 111 just kept coming up. It's 111. I would wake up at 111 in the morning. I would look at the clock and it'd be 111 in the afternoon. And just anything. It was everywhere. And we searched every scripture. Like, oh, it must be a scripture that the Lord is just calling us to. You know, we're thinking one, you know, January to November, is it a season? You know, 1 and 11. And this is the scripture. I have to tell you, this scripture is what came out of the searching for the 111. I was reading it one day and I just laughed out loud. It's from Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And I was like, oh wow, it's just you. And you know, your Trinity, 111. And it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And that was like, yeah, that's it. That's what we've got to do. But there was a little bit of fear and trepidation in that, wasn't there? Because we wasn't quite sure, you know, there's that sense if God turns up, things are actually going to change. And do I really want them to change? Am I comfortable in my nice little spot to turn up and have a good time with God and go away and it actually make no effect really on my life? I tried to find a little bit of an order of some points. But feel free to just turn up God and blow these out as well. So I was reading this in a book, and the first one is choose adventure over safety. Well, that just like proved my point, you know, we just, are we happy to be comfortable, or do we just want to go on an adventure and just like, okay, let's do it. Let's be reckless. You know, accept the fact that there's nothing safe about pursuing God and decide to take whatever risks you need to take in order to experience that blessing of getting closer to Him. Because it's worth it. You know, I don't know why we associate it with the fear, like, you know, going to the dentist or something. We go there and everything's put right and we come away and think, why are we so fearful about that? And I think we're a little bit like that about God, because we don't really know what's going to happen. And then He turns up and He's like, oh wow. Oh wow. Oh wow. We just want more of you, God. We just want more of you. And pursuing revival, as in personal revival within ourselves. We were talking about dry bones earlier. And there's that sense of God's presence that falls on us, and especially when we've become dead or lethargic in our spiritual lives. And asking God to revive those things and allowing Him to revive those things. All revivals start with personal change in the people. And that, you know, that's us. That's every single, it's not just me, because I'm up here. I would quite happily just speak from my seat down there and let God have the stage. I know there are areas in my own life that are dry and need reviving. And I want God to do that. I want to experience more of his joy and his peace and his love overflowing in my life. And I want deliverance and freedom in the areas that are just stuck. So one thing I found, when I was searching for more information, if you like, just like, give me clues, God. It says, instead of trying to make a tangible encounter with God happen, prepare yourself for when God decides to manifest. Oh, wow. That's really cool. But it's simple and it's easy. I'm not preaching anything new. I just feel like there's an opportunity right now to actually just say yes to all this and get on with more of hosting. Like Voon started off with hosting the presence in our lives, hosting the presence here. And that presence just falls out onto other people as you walk down. You know, when I read about, it was this shadow of, who is it? The shadow of Peter? That people were healed by that. And I thought, I want to see that. I want to see that. I'd be quite happy to walk down the road and if my shadow is healing people, woohoo! But you can't convince God to show you his manifest presence whenever and however you like. He shows up on his terms. And I think the best that we can do is prepare ourselves to be the best we can be to encounter that presence by making him and his relationship the top priority in your life, where it says seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. That is my most quoted scripture of all times, and I quote it to myself because I know that I fail to do it. You know, you get distracted and you look at other things, but you only grow closer to God when you invite him in and you put him first and cultivating your life for God's presence should be the one thing. And expecting to encounter God. You know, supernatural encounters actually aren't that rare. God manifests his presence all the time, all over the place, through the Holy Spirit and to various people all around the world. There's always something, God's tangible presence happening somewhere. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think we think, oh, it's only going to happen when, you know, we've got a platform speaker turn up or we're, I don't know, we're in a certain place, but that's not true to what it says in the Bible. You know, God's manifest presence turned up to lots of different people, regardless of who they were. So our expectation, I think, should be at a different level. I turn up expecting to encounter God when I come here on a Sunday. And I'm never disappointed. Amen. But I want more. Amen. Because there is more. And there's something else as well. There's that remember. Remember, repent, and return. So I remember all the amazing times. I remember how I felt when I first encountered God for the first time, and how wow that was, and how sometimes just the things of life dull that. And then it's like, oh, I want that again. But then God said, you haven't lost it. He said, you've just taken your focus off. Yeah. And I still have that first love when you're first in a relationship, and it's just, oh, God this, God that, Jesus did this, Jesus did that. Oh, isn't this amazing? That shouldn't change. You should still be talking like that 20, 30, 40 years later. Because it's taking you back to your first love. And that first love is always there. That should motivate you to repent of any sin that is in your way of having that awesome relationship with God. And you can draw near to God in confidence. Yet, there is that remembering that he is holy as well. And we need to remember the two. Because he is holy. And one of my experiences of the tangible presence of God, when he just turned up, I can remember it really clearly. I was in Romford, 15, 20 years ago. And I was in a conference, like a mini conference type thing, and God turned up. I mean, he turned up and I just leapt out of my chair and I fell on my face. And I can still feel it now. I could feel him walking through the room. He was awesome and majestic, and I didn't even dare lift my head to think that I could even look on him. But I was just so, whoa, this is what you feel like. And then he walked through the room and he sat down and then he called me. He said, get up. He said, come here. And he called me to come and sit on his lap. And the contrast between the two of that holiness and presence, yet my Father God calling me to come and sit. Oh, that's how I want to live. I want to live with that presence, knowing his holiness. Because when you know that, you just know the things that you shouldn't be doing. And you know what you can't do. And you know what displeases him. And then that whole daddy that is in the midst of all that holiness, it blows me away. It's such a contrast. Because that love that comes out of that, it's just so sweet and so freeing. And you always want to please your parents. And it just makes me want to please him more, knowing that, you know, in Old Testament, I would have been burnt up with my sin and I would be no more. Yet now there's this redemption to be able to be that close to him, to actually sit on his lap after honouring him. And that's what I felt. That was the order. You honour him first and then you go to him. There there is one thing about the presence. I mean, I've experienced a lot of God over my life, and we've had a time where they've just, you know, there's been like experiences all the time, and falling over and laughing and crying and, I don't know, all sorts of stuff. But then there's that, is that experience actually changed me? Or was it just the experience that I kept hungering after? Because I kept wanting more. But the challenge is do you want it for the experience, or do you want it because you really want God to change you? And that's the fruit of the encounter. Is, did that make you want to read your Bible more? Did it make you more selfless? Did it make you more open and more teachable to the Holy Spirit? Or was it just, oh, well, I want to come and I want to be drunk again in the Holy Spirit. And that is all well and good. But if that's the only thing that you're seeking, it's okay. Oh God, we're sorry. We're sorry if there is any way that we have chased after experience just for experience sake. And we apologize, God, and we honor you. We honor you and declare you're worthy. You are worthy. And we want to be changed by you. We need you. We need you, Father. We need you, Father. We need your presence. Will you come? I need you. I'm so sorry for everything that gets in the way. All those things just pale into insignificance when you're there. Because you are the answer to everything. We need to let God's presence transform us. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand pleasures forevermore. How can you not want that? We want to pursue you, God. We want to be God chasers. Because we want to be changed. So, it's a challenge to you, how you want to respond. Do you want more of God? Do you really want more of God, and what that costs? Because it is going to cost you. It's going to cost you the things in your life that you're hanging on to. And it's going to cost you those dry bones places where you haven't let God fill them. And I'm speaking to myself. But I know that God is about to break out. And I don't want to miss anything, because I don't want to read another one of those stories that is happening somewhere else. Because it could be happening here. God wants to come. We've not been bypassed. He wants to come, but we have to build an altar for his presence. And that is us. That is our flesh burning on that altar. That is us honoring him for everything that he does. His love and his acceptance of who we are should make us want to run to him and go, I give you the rest. I give you the rest that I've held back because I need you more. Because it's not just for us. It's for a dying world that needs you. Needs you. Because God chose to use us. He didn't bypass free will. He gives people free will. Which is why we need to be good representation of who he is. And are you willing to take that sacrifice today? To come closer. To be a people after him, after his presence, regardless. Maybe we could come and pray. Pray ourselves. Come and give your own things. Come and build an altar to him with yourself. Father, I put my own self here. And my own failings. And my own sin. And ask you to come and cleanse me. And to put me in that purifying fire. To make me more cold. So that I can experience more of you. I could ask you to come. I'm going to take this off.